I know you feel the same way I do. It's an amazing thing to be reading this great scripture and to be exposed to such wisdom and so much light and life and wisdom that God gives to us. And you'll notice that we're continuing on. This is reading from the lectionary we have each day, you know, and there's lectionary readings that we're doing as a church. I hope that you'll join in if you haven't already. If you have been, continue to do it. If you can't do it every day, try to do it as many times as you can. But this reading came as a follow-up to the reading we had last week, which is about the feeding of the 5,000 people. Remember? There were 5,000 people there. There were probably more like 20,000 because the Bible, when it mentions the number, it's usually referring only to the men. But there were women and children there and of all ages, and they all came to listen to Jesus. And he performed a miracle and used just a few loaves of bread and fishes to multiply them and feed everyone so that they had enough to eat and even left over. Right? They were satisfied with the amount of food that they received, and they knew that they had witnessed a miracle. Remember also the lesson of how children can learn to give, and when they give of what they have, God uses it. Right? So it's important for us to teach children at a young age to give. We'll be talking about that in a little while with the youth and the things that they can give towards as well. But today, let us look at this scripture before us that continues on from that point. Last week, we were talking about how we can feed the world just as Jesus fed the many people, and we don't have perhaps all the things that we need to feed the world, but in Jesus we do. Right? In ourselves we don't have enough. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money. Actually, that's not true. There's a lot of abundance in the world, but we ourselves think that we don't. But Jesus has given much to be used for his kingdom to be furthered. And so we want to do that. But today, it's important for us to understand what it means to give people, right, to feed people with the bread of life. This is a part of the teaching of Jesus that comes as a result of the people being fed, as you remember hearing in the scripture today. So let's take a look at that. And then we're going to take a look at a very important doctrine of Jesus in the I am sayings of Jesus, followed by an Old Testament reading of the Psalm that helps us to understand how the people in the time of Israel and in the wilderness, and then looking back at that time, reflect in a way that helps us appreciate what Jesus has said here. So we're going to go a little bit backwards this time, not begin with the Old Testament, but work our way towards the Old Testament, and we'll see how Jesus is tying that into what he is saying. So without further ado, please open your Bibles, and we'll start with John 6:24-35. When the crowd saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. They were seeking him. This is right after that he had performed this miracle. And then you remember there was a time when Jesus walked on the water, and he was coming to the disciples there. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Right? He had disappeared from them, and they were wondering, "How could you get here?" And he answered them in this way, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." So Jesus takes it away from them seeking him and saying, you know, "Jesus, how did you get here?" And they're talking about those kind of things. And again, that is a worldly kind of way of thinking, right? And he takes them into the kingdom kind of thinking, right? And he also, you know, faces them with the truth of what is in their hearts. Okay? And this is what God does for our good. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." So you're not coming here because you saw a great miracle. You're coming here because your stomachs were filled with food. Now take a moment and think about that and apply it to your own life and think about how we act towards God too. How easy it is for us, right? How easy it is for us to appreciate God when we have what we need and everything's going well. Our stomachs are filled, right? He's provided for us. But how do we act when we don't? And that teaches us our hearts are not in the right place, and we haven't appreciated who Jesus is yet. Right? But he's leading us there. He wants us to know that. It's a very important thing if we're going to feed other people. We don't just do it and say, here's the food, now you're good, and walk away. We say, no, we have to teach them about Jesus, the bread of life, because he's the one who is really going to make a difference in people's lives. It goes on, don't work for the food that perishes, Jesus says, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. So here's another teaching of Jesus. Don't work for the food that perishes. Don't work for the food that fills your stomachs, right? And he uses this word work. It's very important. But for the food that endures to eternal life. And so there's a change here. It's from the physical to the spiritual. Right? And that is what God serves us as our physical needs, but he is invested in our spiritual needs, which the Son of Man will give to you. And he's referring to himself. The Son of Man is Jesus, will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. He has given his blessing to his Son to provide this spiritual food for people and what they need. So Jesus, first of all, uses the bread sign to teach people about life. Please listen to that. We have to have this lesson in life. You can't live without Jesus. Can we say that to people that are around us? We need to do it. If you're not there yet, pray for God to give you the wisdom and the strength to do so. You can't live without Jesus. That will spur something in the conversation, I'm sure. Food that perishes, things that take our minds away from God. Right? We're going to see that later in Psalm 78. Things that take our minds away from God are the things that perish, the things that are existent only for the moment here. We know that we serve an eternal God who sent his Son Jesus to die for our sins so that we would not die but have eternal life. If you don't know someone who has passed away, if you've never been with someone who passes away, it takes you into a whole new realm of understanding what's going on here. But don't wait for that to happen before you begin to think about the things that are going on here, right? Without Jesus, we will not have eternal life. Without Jesus, believing in him, we will not live eternally with God, right? So he teaches them first, it's a sign to teach them about life. What do you think about life? Jesus is teaching them about life. Food that perishes. Don't live for things that are going to just be temporary like this. We can make a long list of those. One thing that comes into my mind that takes our mind away from God is video games. When we were talking to some of the kids at the Jesus in the Park, I saw a little kid there who I hadn't seen for a long time and I'm very fond of. And it used to be the kind of thing where I would talk to them and I'd say, what do you like to play with? Because I love to buy kids toys. I love to buy them all kinds of things like that or a book or something like that. I think about that. And I had actually this car in mind that I thought he might enjoy. And so I was kind of prepping him and thinking, you know, what do you like? And I was waiting for a car. I like cars. And he looked at me and he kind of shrugged his shoulders and he very unenthusiastically said, I like video games. And I was like, oh no, already, right? The joy over something that you can have in your hands and you can like play with and you're going to use in life and boys like, you know, to play with and things like that. And now it's evaporating into something that you press with your fingers and you go through these things and play over and over and over again. And I'm sorry to say this, but these companies have kids exactly where they want them in the palm of their hands and they know exactly what things to create for them to get into so that they can become addicted to them. And it forms an addiction that is going to last them for a long time, and I'm speaking from experience because our own son had that addiction. It causes the kids to say, if I don't have it from you, I'm going somewhere else to find it. Disobedience, lying. It forms in these kind of ways. We don't get what we want from those who are responsible to us, and so we go elsewhere to find it. And that is what these kind of things do. I really, you know, I'm saying this with trepidation because I know that they're important. I also know that they're fun, but I also know as a pastor how bad they are for kids and adults. You know how I know? Because kids sleep until 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes because they're up so late playing games or doing things on the internet. Why would you be interested in God when you have that? My friends are all doing it. My friends are all playing these games. We're all doing these kind of things. I'm playing and I'm doing this. But what Jesus is saying is talking to children as well and to youth and to all ages here. Because we're under the impression that our life is our own. Right? This is immensely important. And I know it can get heavy and stuff like that. I've been really praying about saying these kind of things because I know how important these things are to people. And we, as adults, we're afraid of losing touch with kids who are in these things because we feel like if we take that away or if we tell them these things, they're going to roll their eyes and they're going to say, "Ah, don't tell me what to do. This is mine. This is what I want to do." But what young people fail to realize is that it's not theirs. It's not their life. And it's not their money that buys the games. And it's not their money that buys the iPhone. It's not theirs. So why do we treat it as though it is? Because we're afraid of what they're going to think when we give them life lessons. And that's the same thing that's going on here. Jesus is giving them life lessons. He could have gone and said, "Hey, look at me. I'm the one that created all this fish and the bread and everything. And look at me and what I can do. Look at that muscle." He goes to them who are seeking a satisfaction for more bread and more things that they can have in their life to even bring them into a position of power in society. And he says, "I'm not going to let you do that because I care too much about you. Because those things are going to get you nowhere in life. But what I have to offer is going to give you everything that you need in life." And it's time that we begin to get that into our heads. And that's what Jesus is doing. He is giving us the greatest gift in the world by giving us this word. The Bible is the greatest gift in the world. It's the thing that we need to know so that we can truly live lives that are going to be great. But if we shy away from those things and we give kids what they want just because they're saying they're going to roll their eyes and they're going to go to their friends and they're going to do all these different things. Well, that takes us into another realm of discipline that we need to go into at that time. But we don't give in just because they say that. They need direction. At the risk of being rejected. Right? And in the end, they come back and they'll say, "Thank you for doing that for me. I was lost. I was caught in these games and stuff like that." The last word I'd like to just say on that to give you some hope is that there's a great thing called boundaries. And when we teach children boundaries, you can have this much time with something. They'll appreciate it more. They'll like it more. They'll know it more and they'll see how its importance is limited. But there are other things going on in the world that we need to be involved with. For me, it was listening to rock music in my room growing up. But let's begin to think about the perspective what we need. How much can you gain in a college education or applying for a college when you spend all your time in video games? What do you like to do? I like to play video games hours and hours and hours. right? So it's realistic. He's teaching now, Jesus, about the kingdom of God being the better choice in life. It's the better choice in life. Not the things that are going to pass away. Not the things that are going to distract our minds and cause us to lose out on all of the opportunities to make something of our lives just simply by being captured by someone's imagination that is trying to get you buy their product. Why would we want that? They said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? You see, they're picking up on what Jesus says here. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. So they are listening to him, but they're picking up on these words. What must we do to be doing the works of God? So do you see how they didn't really hear what he said at the same time they heard it? What should we do to be doing works of God? And he says, don't work for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son will give to you. You don't do anything for it. The Son of God will give it to you. But they're in this works thing, right? And he's taking them into the kingdom thinking, right? They pick up the worldly mindset on the word work, which is, what is the works of God? They don't get what Jesus means. They're thinking about physical works or deeds. But those come, but they come in balance with a spiritual life that is saying the works of God is something else. And Jesus says this, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And so what he's doing here is he's giving us an incredible lesson in life as a kingdom person that belongs to God, that is going to live forever, that is going to have a life that is fulfilled, that is going to be blooming, that is going to be fruitful. It can't go to the works that are going to be done with our hands. It can't be done by the works that are going to result in us filling our stomachs. It comes first with a belief in Jesus Christ. He's not saying that's a work. He's saying that that is what you need to be able to begin to work for the kingdom of God. So belief is where we stand. Right? That you believe in him whom he has sent. And there he is saying that God sent someone, right? And he's defining him as the Son of Man, and he's leading up to himself. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What do you need to do today? You need to be listening to what Jesus is saying and believe in him. That's what you need to believe. You need to begin with. He makes it clear here that it's not work, as in do not work for the food that perishes, but for the work that endures to eternal life. It has to do with faith, with belief, not physical things that you can make a list of. So they say to him, and here we go again, they pick up on something he says. Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? So you see how they're thinking again. They're tying it in with something that he can do for them in some way that they may see and believe him. So it's all on their terms. You agree with that? It's all on their terms. Okay, so then you're telling us to believe in him. So what sign will you do that we may see and believe you? Now, this is ludicrous. This is funny. What did he just do? He just took a few fish and bread and he fed 20,000 mouths with it until they were filled and there was left over. And they say to him, what sign can you give to us? Jesus is not the type to laugh, but he could have laughed in their faces and said, what are you, crazy? What do you mean, what sign? But this is the way we all think about God, right? When we're lost. What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. This is really heresy. They're saying to God, the Son of God, that Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Do you see the absence of God in their thinking? Moses fed us, so what can you do? And he's talking to the one who was there with Moses at the time that he was being used by God to feed the people. Jesus was always around. He's the Son of God. He's always there. He was there at the beginning of creation when creation came into being at the command of God. Nothing was made that was made without him. And they're standing before him and talking to him and trying to reason with him. And they're putting him on the spot and saying, or trying to put him on the spot and saying, what can you do for us? Moses, the one that we really care most about, fed us, you know, our people with bread from heaven. It was God that actually sent the bread, the manna, down to the people to feed their mouths because they were complaining. Right? So they're in their world mindset when they listen to Jesus and they pick up on his use of the world, on the word believe. They want something physical as though the feeding of the 5,000 was not enough. But then they bring up Moses, which is another aspect of their unbelief. They're tied to Moses and quote his words to Jesus when Jesus is the Son of God who was present at the time of Moses. Amen. Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so Jesus sets them straight emphatically about who gives the true bread of heaven. And who was the one who had given the people of God at the time of Moses the bread from heaven? It was God. He's guiding them to the truth of his being the Son of God, the Messiah. And the metaphor here is that the bread of manna, right, this manna was sent from heaven in the time of the wilderness journey. So is Jesus now the bread of God who comes from heaven to give life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. And this request is all that Jesus needs to provide them the answer to life. And so he answers them. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is saying to them, you have a symbol in the bread of heaven that came down in the time of Israel. God sent that down as manna, and it was pointing to me, and now I am standing before you as the real deal. That was a symbol then. And the bread that I gave to you to eat now is a symbol too. I'm the fulfillment. I'm the real deal. That bread of heaven, that bread of life is standing right in front of you. And you need me. Right? You need me. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. This is an invitation. So if you don't know Jesus as Savior, if you don't know Jesus as what is most important in life, then this is your invitation. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And each one of us, when we're honest, has a longing inside of us. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care what background you're from. You could be from the other end of the earth, in the farthest place away from all of us. You have the same need of God as we do. We all have that in common. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And he is telling us now, come to me and you will never hunger or thirst again. You have found the answer. And I'm here to give myself to you. Jesus teaches them the I am saying that is filled with meaning. They are getting a firm lesson in who Jesus is and the answer for their lives. Psalm 78, I talked to you about Psalm 78. Before we go to the I am sayings, I wanted to read this. In verse 19 to 25, it says, they spoke against God. These are the people in the wilderness. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. But can he give bread or provide meat for his people? Do you hear the doubt in the people there? He struck a rock and water came out and gave us water to drink. But can he also do this? Can he provide bread? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. Those are the people, that's the people of God. His anger rose against Israel because they didn't believe in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. Do you hear the kind of God that is present there? Just like Jesus, standing in front of people, he was offended by these people. They said offensive things. They said, "What can you do now?" Just like the people years and years ago were reminded of the stubbornness and the unbelief that they possess. "Give us water. We need water. Don't you care about us? Okay, I'll give you water. Give us bread. Can you do that too? I don't even know if you can do that. I know you gave us water. You gave us a lot of water, and we're really, really, you know, that was really great for us. But now we want bread, but we're not sure if you can give it to us." Why? Anybody? Why? No faith. They don't believe. They're still in the world. Their mouths are being fed. The water's going into their body. Their needs are filled. What does God do when they talk to him that way? He commands the skies above, opens the door of heaven. He rains down manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. What kind of a God is that? Merciful. Patient. Fatherly, motherly. You ever hear a mother or father with a little child and the child doesn't talk to them well? And they do these kind of things and all these kind of, and the mother's love is still there. Let's take a look at the I Am sayings of Christ. Would you mind bringing that up, Brother Alfred? Just want to bring this up to your attention so that you can be familiar with these. I'm sure that you are, but let's take a look at it again. First of all, there are I Am statements that are absolute, where Jesus says, someone says, "Are you the Son of Man?" And he says, "I am." And those are all throughout, this is all throughout the book of the Gospel of John. And then there are metaphorical I Am statements. First one is, "I am the bread of life." There we are in chapter 6 of John, the Gospel of John. The second one, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. "I am the door of the sheep." "I am the good shepherd." "I am the resurrection and the life." "I am the way, the truth, and the life." "I am the true vine." Begin to study these well. Begin with your children to teach them. Spend time as a family to go over these and say, what is the implication for this in our lives today? I am. You remember when Moses was saying, "Who should I say is, you know, sending me to set the people free?" God said, "I am." There's great power in I am. It's God's authority, sovereignty, greatness. It's all him and nothing else. I am the answer for the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. All of these I am, and it's all through the book of John. I want to encourage you, if you haven't begun a study with someone and you're a Christian, a believer, and you're comfortable doing it, get the Gospel of John out, find someone, sit down with them, and read it with them. It'll begin a practice that you will continue your entire life, and you will change lives. Because you are getting the gospel into the hearts and the souls of people so that they know these statements are the meaning of life. And they know who it is that is going to give them that life. A man named R.E. Nixon in the Daily Devotional Bible Commentary said this, "Like water, food is a sign of spiritual sustenance. It must be worked for, yet paradoxically, it is the gift of God. Work of this kind is therefore not an external striving, but faith in the Son of God." He also said, no one depending on seeing wonders will ever be satisfied. So do you see why Jesus is saying that to them? He knows that they're not going to be satisfied with another miracle. It's not going to do it. What it takes is belief. To say at that moment, I've seen a miracle here, this is someone different from anyone I've ever met, I have a choice. Either I say, wow, what a miracle, or I say, wow, I've just met the Son of God, and I'm going to believe in him, and I'm going to worship him. My life belongs to him now. Right? I've been watching the Olympics. I'm a big fan of the Olympics. There's a story of Katie Ledecky. She's probably the greatest female swimmer of all time. There was an interview with her after she had won her second gold medal, these Olympics in Tokyo. The commentator or the interviewer said, when you have the Olympic medals around your neck, do you feel fulfilled by them? Or do you have a desire to work hard for more of them? And this was her answer. I don't get fulfillment from medals. I'm fulfilled by relationships and experiences with people who make me happy. Good for her. Great answer, right? The medals don't fulfill me. My relationships do. It's a great answer. But on one level, everybody, on one level. The scripture today teaches us that there's something more. That something more is to understand that we live for Christ, and he alone is the one who satisfies and fulfills our longings. He alone can satisfy our hunger and our thirst for fulfillment in life. Why? Because he is the Son of the eternal God, and we as human beings are made for the eternal. Without Jesus, who is the eternal life, we will not be fulfilled. God has put eternity into our hearts. It says that in Ecclesiastes. So on one level, we are fulfilled by human relationships, just like Katie Ledecky spoke of. But it really takes Jesus as the bread of life who will fulfill us in a deeper and lasting way. The story of the manna in the Old Testament is proof of it, because when the people were given bread from heaven, they were fine for a time, but then were eventually complaining again because they were eating the food as a physical means for fulfillment. But there was more to life that they needed, which was the presence of God. He is the one who will fulfill our heart and thirst, because he is the goal of our hunger and thirst. He's the one who has given us our lives. And it's for him that we need to live our lives. Or else we will be longing and searching again. So the sermon title is Learning to Feed Those Around Us, the Bread of Life. What does that mean? First of all, it means that we ourselves need to understand what it means. I know in churches we take time, you know, to talk with people, and we have different things that we do to open up the opportunity for the gospel to be heard. Meanwhile, we're going through a time in our life where we're not really sure where we stand in our faith. We're not sure really, you know, if I stand in front of somebody, what am I saying? How can I say this? You know, is this going to go well? How is my relationship with God? So if you're in that category, what I would do is encourage you today to spend time with God to find out. And begin with this word. And I'm talking about from the youngest child and the parents talking with children up until the oldest. What is your will for me in my life? What is your will for me? Who are you? Show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. And he will. Right? we ponder and meditate the lessons, this is what we need to do in order to feed those around us the bread of life. We need to ponder and meditate the lessons that Jesus teaches us in his I am sayings. We need to digest this scripture and live with it and pray over it. If you're spending time, the bulk of your time, do a test and take a look at your day and find out and see where your heart lies. What do you do with your time? What do you put your mind on throughout the day? Do it. It wouldn't take very long. You just have to write it down. And then lay it before God and say, Lord, I want this now to be focused on you more and on these things less. And I'm weak. I know it's summer. I've been working hard in high school. I know I have a lot of things to do and everything like that, but I'm going to begin with you. I can tell you, everyone, it's hard for me too. When I came to this church, I was on my knees right here in the front here, an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anybody here. I had a directory. I didn't know the names on the directory. I didn't know anybody really. I saw a bunch of names that a couple of people rang a bell. But I did that every day. And yesterday I started again. It was a long time in between because things come up. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry to everybody here, but I'm sorry more to God because I was the loser in all of that. And I realized that I was so eager to do and to say that I didn't stop and listen. So I'm saying that to you so that you know we're all in the same boat. But you can start again. Because that's the kind of God we have. He's the kind of God who, when people said, can you bring bread from heaven? We don't even know if you can do that, even though you gave us that water from the rock. And he says, I'll give it to you. He doesn't turn you down, even when you're completely lost. It's especially in those moments when you're completely lost that he comes to you and says, you may think that you can get away from me, but you never will. Because no one loves you more than I do. And I've proved it to you through my son, Jesus, and I'll keep proving it to you, and I'll keep coming to you. All you need to do is give me your life. And I'll show you how much I love you. We need to start doing some evaluation, just like you do for school or work. You sit down, you methodically begin to look at what the scripture is talking to you about. We teach what we've been taught. We need to teach it in the church so that we become used to speaking it. We don't want to be people who learn things and never say it. And I also want to say that if we have Sunday school teachers, right? And we have a great number of them, but if those people are not involved in a Bible study that they're not teaching, they need to begin to. You need to be fed. You need to be involved. You can't just feed people. You need to be involved. There's Bible studies there. There's a prayer meeting there. You have to make time to say, I'm not the only one that can do this. And if it means that you have to step back, then you need to step back. But you need to have time with God. And you also have to be a part of a fellowship so that you can be fed by others. We need to act on faith. We need to share it in ways just like today at Jesus at the Park and in helping the children of Guatemala like we learned at the Nature Walk yesterday. We all know about Jesus in the Park, I think. Yesterday we were introduced to Guatemalan children who are not given any education because of their vicinity, where they live in their villages. They only go to an elementary school level. The government does not offer any middle school or above education for children. And Rick Carey and Deb Carey from Main Church are going there now and are helping build schools from the middle school age on for the children there. Now that should get our attention. That is an opportunity. Because if we don't pay attention to those kind of things, we will not learn what's important in life. We will say, I am going to do what I do so that I can get educated and it's good for me, but the others I'm not going to think about. And Jesus is saying you can't live like that in the kingdom of God. So we have to think of a plan to get our youth involved so that they can help those children and help them to see what's important in life. We need to learn what it means to be kingdom people. We need to help our children to know the tendency of people all throughout history to live for material things and not for God. And through scriptures like Psalm 78, to see how well-meaning people can be so terribly lost in their thinking. They're well-meaning people, but they're totally lost. Next, we appreciate God. We need to help people in our lives to see the patience and the perseverance and the steadfast love of God, who despite being dishonored and ignored by mankind, continues to give people what they ask for with the intention that they will hopefully understand who he is, who is his son, and so they will have eternal life in him and know the meaning of life. And we need to believe in Jesus Christ as the bread of life, not a symbol. If you only think of Jesus Christ as a symbol and you don't know the reality of him, that is where you need to begin to learn. He's not an icon. He is not a prophet. He's the Son of God who came from heaven, the grain of heaven, who loved us, died for us, rose again to give us life to be spent with him. Be the light that shines. Because why? Because Jesus says you are. And feed the bread of life to those God puts in your path. You have been given the light of life. Shine with it. Shine with it. Let us sing a song of response.